All right, hello ladies. Can everyone hear us up here? This is awesome. I know we have some ladies who are still trickling in, but this is the room lunch is served in. So I feel like we're going to have a bunch of men knocking on those doors here in a couple minutes if we don't get started ready to eat. So we'll go ahead and begin this morning. This session is called Confident in Our Calling. Do you have your notes? Did you get notes? Okay, perfect. Awesome. So this is a discussion panel session, and I'll just take a quick second and introduce the ladies on our panel. First is my wonderful mom. She's obviously the pastor's wife here. She's been in ministry for several decades. She is a teacher. She teaches in our college, and she teaches fourth grade girls Sunday school, and she is obviously a personal blessing in my life, and I'm thankful for her testimony. And then Mrs. Susan Rasmussen is on the panel again this year, and we're thankful for her and for her testimony. She also teaches in the college, has been in ministry for several decades, and is just an example to me in life and ministry, and I appreciate her and the fact that she is here. And then my friend Amanda is at the end, and we have been friends for quite a while. Amanda serves as the pastor's wife at First Baptist Church in Long Beach. And I was thinking this morning, Amanda, we're similar in age, but she has two sons at West Coast, so two kids in college, two kids in high school, basically, and then two kids at home, preschool and toddler age. So she's coming at you from like every life stage at one time right now this morning with her experience to share. But I am thankful to serve the Lord here and with my family in Palmdale. And I have two boys who are almost 10 and 13. And I was thinking about them and this session, and this season is football season. And my boys are at the age where football season is a very big deal and very exciting. And so because it's exciting to them, I'm trying to make it exciting for me. Anyone else resonate with this, right? So we were at a high school football game the other night, and everyone was so excited saying something about fourth down. And so I'm literally on my phone Googling, what is a fourth down? You know, so I could be the cool mom and know what's going on. So I don't know much about football, but I have seen a few glimpses of when there's a football draft on TV, you know, and there's like, I don't know if you've seen this before, but there's like a whole vibe, and there's a player waiting to hear from a coach, and the whole family is sitting around excited. The girlfriend is there, you know, the parents are there, and everyone's just staring at a cell phone, and they're all just waiting on a call from a coach. So they get the draft, and they're excited and hopeful for that. And I was thinking about waiting for that call, and I'm thankful that as Christian women, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we got the call. We got the call to be on God's team. We were drafted to serve with Him, with Him as our Savior, our coach, our guide, and our leader. And I know that you ladies understand this, but really our calling is not primarily to a position or to a role or to a specific job description. It's really a calling to a person, and that is Jesus. And of course, the specifics of that differ for each of us, but we are called to a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Primarily speaking, we are called to follow Him and to fellowship with Him. And so as we look at this lesson today, we're going to go to the book of Hebrews and look at Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish converts who were having a hard time breaking from the rituals of their religion, the Old Testament traditions that they were used to. Now that Jesus had come, they were kind of trying to hold on to their traditions and rituals and hold on to Jesus. And so the whole point and primary message of this book is to tell these Jewish believers, Jesus is the only way. Be faithful to Him completely. Follow Him completely. And I love that when you get to chapter 11, the author gives a whole list of, in the Great Hall of Faith, of people who did this. They followed Jesus completely. And Hebrews 11 tells us of people who subdued kingdoms. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They were valiant in the fight. They escaped the edge of the sword. Sounds to me like it was a group of people who were confident in their calling, right? People who had faith to follow the Lord. And I don't know how you came into this session today. I'm not sure how you feel in your calling, how you are doing in your calling, maybe I should say. How are you doing in your calling? How do you, if someone asked you about it, how would you describe yourself? Would you say, I'm tired in my calling? I think we can be happy and confident and tired in our calling at the same time, right? But maybe you do feel very tired. Maybe you feel overwhelmed in your calling. Perhaps you feel under-equipped or not as qualified. Maybe you feel unmotivated. Maybe you're confused because the specifics of your calling are not clear to you right now. I do think that these may have been words that people in the Hall of Faith may have at one time used for themselves. Sarah may have felt stretched in her calling. Gideon for sure felt unqualified in his calling. Jochebed, I'm sure she felt overwhelmed in following God's plan for her life. But they grew confident in their calling and they had the faith to follow. And I think it's interesting that in Hebrews 10, the primary theme and repeating pattern in Hebrews 10 is this thought of confidence. So right before you get to the Great Hall of Faith, there's a passage that talks about having confidence, having boldness, being full of assurance, not wavering. And so I just wanted to take a couple minutes today to look at these words and to get some spiritual encouragement. I've been thinking of them as like confidence boosters or confidence builders, four areas that we can work on in our lives to have confidence. And we're going to talk about those today. And what I'll do is just kind of introduce the thought and then kind of direct some questions to these ladies. And then we'll get through this as quickly as possible. But number one, the first action for building confidence in our calling, according to Hebrews 10, is to lean in. We want to lean in. And this confidence booster involves prayer. Okay, this is where we really lean in prayer, because verse 22 tells us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You know, when we experience doubt and struggle and a feeling of overwhelm in our calling, there is a tendency to lean in to our own efforts. I know I do this. Like if I see something's wrong, I kind of lean in to working harder to fix it. And this call in verse 22 is a reminder to lean in to our walk with the Lord when we need solutions to our problems, when we need more faith for our doubt. It's easy to grow distant and distracted even as we're serving in ministry and not remember that our first job is to cultivate and our first calling is to cultivate that walk with the Lord. In your notes and in these verses, we are supposed to lean in, draw near with a sincere heart. This is a heart that has nothing hidden, a heart that comes to God just as we are, open about our struggles, open about our uncertainties. We're also to come with a believing heart. The word here is full assurance, and it means certain confidence. We can approach God's throne totally confident that he will help us. I don't know if anyone in here is into like the royal family or maybe even watching the Queen Elizabeth's funeral. I have always enjoyed kind of watching and kind of seeing a little bit of the pomp and circumstance that surrounds a lot of the royal family. And it got me thinking that several years ago, actually, when I was in college, my family went on a trip to London and we stayed at a very old hotel. It was several floors and it had a very old elevator. And we were on our way to go see the changing of the guard. And my mom had an expectation for this day, as moms can have when you're on vacation and you want your kids to experience something special. She had already seen the changing of the guard, but she was very excited for us to see the changing of the guard. And if you've ever traveled with my father, he has a schedule like every minute, even a vacation. Okay. So we were like getting on the elevator and we had a plan to, you know, get food and get transportation and get to the changing of the guard. And we're used to this vibe, you know, vacation vibe. We got to, you know, get moving. So we get on the elevator. And I'm not sure if any of you have ever been on the ride Tower of Terror at Disneyland. Okay. So I'm not going to say it was exactly like Tower of Terror, but it was definitely reminiscent of Tower of Terror. We got on this very old elevator and we are just like literally going up and down and kind of bouncing and back up and back down. And I truly was afraid. My sister, my whole family, we was there. We were all like, what is happening? And I kept thinking, this is like a major fear of mine. Before I even got on the elevator, I would have told you, falling like on an elevator would have been like a life fear for me. So I am like, oh, this is the moment, this is happening. You know, I'm like praying and finally it stopped. But my mom, she wasn't necessarily worried about being stuck. She was worried about missing the changing of the guard, right? So the boys are like trying to, it stopped, but we didn't know where we were. So they kind of pried the elevator doors open and we're looking at a concrete wall. So then I started feeling like claustrophobic and I'm like, get me out of here. And my mom's like, the changing of the guard. So there is, if you don't know this, on elevators, you know, there's that emergency red button that we never want to use. I look for that button every time I get on an elevator now, but there's an elevator and my mom saw it. And my mom did not just tap that elevator for help. I have a very vivid memory of her leaning in literally with her whole body and pushing that button, like really a desperate cry for help. And she didn't let go of it. So she is just holding it and holding it. Finally, someone answers. They said, we're going to send help. And we said, okay. So she temporarily stopped holding And then they didn't send help right away. In fact, they didn't send help for over an hour. So for the whole time, you know what? This lady right here, this godly, meek, and quiet lady, was leaning in and laying on that button the entire time. Finally, she just didn't want them to forget about us. Finally, the guy started talking to us through the speaker, and he said, "Ma'am, I'd like to kindly ask you to lay off the button. We are doing our best to get you there." Finally, they got there. It was hours later, and they helped us out. They gave us water, and they gave us transportation. We barely made it, but we made it to the changing of the guard. We got there in style because they gave us a special ride. But sometimes I think about that in life. We feel stuck or impatient, and our first response should be to lean in. And thankfully, the Lord answers right away. And if He makes us wait and it's not according to our timing, moving forward in His path, His way is always the best way in His calling. And so as we have that thought right now this morning, I just wanted to ask the ladies on the panel if they can maybe talk a little bit about what are some things that hold us back when we should be leaning in. Maybe help us identify some areas where we're pulled. Instead of spending time on our walk with God, we get distracted in our service a little bit. Do you want to take that, Mom?
Okay, things that hold us back for having a closer walk with the Lord, I would say busyness. As many of you that are pastor's wife or in full-time busy or moms, just the busyness of our schedules can keep us from being able to spend that time leaning into the Lord. So I think that would be mine, if I was being honest, just the busyness. It could be sin, technology. Danielle talked about the queen, and I don't have Facebook or Twitter or anything like that, but technology can take our time. And so I was looking at the guards, and I thought, I wonder how much their hats weigh. So I Google it, you know, and then I see something else, and then I Google it. And by the way, they weigh 1 pound and 1.5 pounds. So that's how much they weigh. But so I can still be guilty of spending too much time on technology, just Googling information. So those are two that I think of.
Well, just briefly, she talked about when we read our Bible and we're busy, especially in a busy season, and maybe some of us live in a busy season. But when I sit down to read my Bible, I don't want my mind to be cluttered with all the things that I have to do. So I have my phone there, or I have a piece of paper there. My phone is not to be checking it, but to make notes on it, or I'll have a piece of paper there. So if something comes into my mind while I'm reading Proverbs 6 that I need to do, I put it on my paper. So then I don't have to keep remembering it. But that really helps me, especially in very busy seasons, to keep my mind focused on my devotions and my reading my Bible and not getting distracted by other thoughts.
I think that one thing that can pull us away is feeling like it's not this season that you're in is not what you've signed up for. Maybe, you know, you're serving somewhere that you didn't intend to. My husband and I, when we first got married, he was a youth pastor, and I loved it. I loved the mud and the games, and it doesn't matter what it was. I was there playing it with the kids. Well, he was a youth pastor for several years, and he told me that the Lord was calling him to be a pastor. And I was like, I don't want to do big people. Like, I've got this. This is good. You know, everything's great. But God makes no mistakes. He has you exactly where you are, serving where you are for a reason. It's to grow. It's to make a difference. And my encouragement would just be to remember that you are where you're serving right now by God's plan.
Those are really good thoughts. The thought of leaning in time with prayer is so basic, but it's such a good reminder for us. And just as a follow-up to those answers, I was going to ask you, Mom, God asks us to draw close to Him with a sincere heart and a heart full of assurance. But how do you intentionally approach God with a heart of truth and sincerity when you go to Him in prayer?
Sometimes as Christians, we don't want to admit that maybe we need help or we're lacking in an area. And I think this, maybe all of you ladies have experienced, but maybe somebody will come to me and ask for a counseling appointment and they need help, and they'll come in and they start telling me their side of the story. And then when you try to give them help and answers, it's like all of a sudden you can just see a wall goes up. They really don't want help. They just wanted to tell their side of the story. And sometimes I feel like we can be that way with the Lord. You know, we go to pray, and you know what we do? Here's our list, Lord, of all the things I want you to do for me today. And we kind of give him a honey-do list and just asking. So for me, the intentional thing that I will do is there's an acrostic that spells out pray, and P is for praise. And so when I go to the Lord and I spend time praising him for who he is, all of a sudden I realize I need God. And that's when we're open and honest and realizing I can't do this on my own. I need God's strength and I need his guidance and I need him. And I want to be open to what he wants me to do, not say, okay, God, here I am. And then, you know, I'm praising you, but then God says, okay, I want you to do this, and you're going, oh, I just wanted to tell you my side of the story. So to be open to the Lord.
And just when you come to him every morning in prayer, just saying, God, if you don't help me today, I'm not going to make it. And just letting God know that in humility we have to have him or we're just not going to make it.
I think my encouragement would be to keep a short account with God. Don't make excuses for things that you know you struggle with, and we all do it. You know, he makes me this way, or I wouldn't respond that way if sister so-and-so didn't say whatever. You know, you can't have the right prayer line with God if you don't have the right relationship with the people around you. So just make sure that before you go to the Lord, you're keeping that short account.
Those are really helpful. Thank you so much. So the first thing is lean in, okay? That's the first confidence booster, is to lean in with prayer and lean into your walk with God. Number two, we're going to hold on. This is the second confidence booster, and that is faithfulness. We need to be faithful in our calling. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." The two words, hold fast. These words mean to have a firm grasp, and it implies this mental picture that you're holding onto your object of faith while you are pushing at your doubt. Simultaneously. So you're pushing back on doubt while holding on to faith. So the Lord wants us to hold fast the profession of our faith. In other words, this is the confession of our hope. This is our lifestyle that matches what we believe. So God is calling us, first of all, to hold on to hope, to be faithful, to hold on to the beliefs that we say we claim to have. This is where our life matches our beliefs. We want to hold on to hope. As we tell women in ministry, you know, just trust the Lord, we need to trust the Lord. As we share and encourage, make sure that we are doing those things as well. And this is how we grow in our confidence. But really, as we hold on to hope, he holds on to us, right? And so we ultimately trust his faithfulness, and we know that he is faithful to us. He will hold us. I love the verse in, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." So truly, it is the Lord who empowers and enables us to carry on in our calling. And I also love Philippians 1:6, "Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ," will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we can have confidence that if he calls us, he will complete it in us. And I'll go ahead and give this to the panel again. Maybe you can share, what do you do when you face discouragement? Maybe there's you're not planning to quit, but there's a temptation to maybe drop a ministry, or you kind of are dreaming of life, you know, that's not so busy. When you personally maybe feel like quitting, what encouragement would you give to remain faithful, or any tips or suggestions along those lines?
I take a nap. It seriously, if I'm ever tempted to withdraw or to maybe want to quit, never truly wanting to quit, but just those thoughts, like Danielle said, come in, it's because I'm tired. You know, I'm weary of, you know, whatever I'm doing. So the best thing for me is to take a nap. And usually after a good night's rest, I can go back to the Lord and reevaluate. And going to scripture, there are some verses that I'll go to continuously that just keeps me encouraged. One of them is 2 Chronicles 15:7. It says, "Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And so just realizing that God is the one that continuously gives us strength. In Psalm 28:7, he said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. And so when I am tempted to be discouraged and quit, it's the Lord, the scriptures, that's going to get me back. And I'll just say one more thing. It's love for people. There's a comic strip, though, that of Peanuts one, and it says, you know, I love mankind. It's just people I can't stand. And so sometimes it's people that will discourage us to withdraw, but it's also the love for those people that make you stay in doing what you're doing. So I have a love for my family, and I don't want to quit because I don't want to disappoint my family. I love the Lord. I don't want to quit. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to disappoint my husband. I don't want to disappoint ladies in the church that might be looking, you know, for me as an example. So it's having that love that keeps us going.
Well, speaking of a nap, I was just in the nursery the last hour, so I'm in need of a nap right now. We know. But I love a verse in Psalm 119 that says, I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. And that's my goal for my life. I've been in ministry for a long time. Danielle said decades. So it has been many decades, almost a century. But anyway, I dye my hair. That's why you can't tell how old I really am. But but anyway, the thing that motivates me as I have a goal for my life to be faithful to the Lord and to continue on, and as I have watched others through the years who did not continue on, and it's such a blessing to see all of you here who are continuing. Thank you so much for doing that. That's such a blessing. But I just wonder, when people who used to serve the Lord and they were here, and then something happens through the years, and they look at themselves in the mirror later thinking, you know, I haven't been to church in a long time. I haven't read my Bible in a long time. I haven't served the Lord in a long time, and they turned away from the Lord. When was that first day they didn't read their Bible? And then the next day they didn't. It's a daily thing, but there was a first day that they didn't read their Bible, and there was a first day they forgot about the Lord, and there was a day they started questioning instead of being confident in God's word and believing in his word. So I know the Bible says we should fear the Lord. Fear the Lord means a reverential trust. But I also think we need to run scared every day that that's going to happen to us. If we get up and we haven't read our Bible today, think, is this that first day that's going to lead to tomorrow I'm not going to do it either, and the next day, and in a few years I'm going to say, look at me, I haven't read my Bible in years. So I think we need to run scared of the devil, that he, in one day, in one moment, could get in and turn us away so that in the future we look at ourselves and what has become of me? You know, I was there, but now I'm not. So let's run scared of the devil, that's going to happen to us, so that we can say, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end, to the end of our life. Let's let that be our goal.
Similar to that, I would say focus on your priorities. Of course, spending time with the Lord, but I think a lot of times when we're in the ministry, you need to make sure that you're actually being spiritually fed. It's really easy to be in nursery and then kids class and then so many different things, and you get to the end of a week and you realize like you actually haven't heard the preaching of God's word at all. So if maybe you're not making it to the service, I just encourage you to, you know, listen to your pastor's message online. Make sure that you're not just teaching, but you're also being spiritually fed as well.
That's good. I know we have more questions and more to say about this, but we'll keep it moving and maybe come back if we have time. So first of all, we're going to lean into our relationship with the Lord. The second confidence booster is to hold on, be faithful, and lean into God's faithfulness, trust in his faithfulness. And then number three, we want to show up. And this is where godly community can really encourage us in our walk with the Lord. I don't know if any of you have this problem, but I have a problem that's actually might be becoming a pet peeve of mine. And it is when I go to charge a device, like maybe my phone or an iPad or my computer, and a charger is missing from my spot. Does anyone else have this problem? If you have children, okay. So I'll go and like my brick was right there, but now it has like a hoverboard cord in it. Or now the, you know, my my cords there, but it's a totally different brick and it doesn't put enough power to my charger. This literally happened last night and this morning. I came home and by my bed where I just usually have like two things charging, just my phone and my watch. I mean, I had, there was computers and electronics and everything like right there. My lamp was even unplugged to accommodate for chargers that came from who knows where. And I was thinking about that this morning and thought, you know, sometimes there are people in our lives, and maybe we are sometimes that person, who when it comes to recharging spiritually, we're kind of like the ones who take the chargers and the cords and hide them and need it for ourselves really fast. And the thought occurred to me that I want to be a charging station. I want to be a place not where people obviously get power from me, but where I can facilitate the opportunity to go to God to get the power that they need to live out the Christian life. I want to be a woman who is a spiritual charging station, someone who can encourage, someone who's there to show up. And in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, we all know these. We read these verses all during COVID, right? But let's look at it again. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Three times it says, let us, let us, let us. Maybe you're here and you're feeling like, I need someone truly to show up for me. Like, I could really use a friend. I could use community right now. Maybe the Lord wants you to show up for somebody and to allow that to be the catalyst for a strong relationship that will encourage you. In this passage, we see, first of all, we should show up with encouragement. The word here is to exhort, means to encourage. It should be our personal job descriptions to encourage others in their walk with the Lord, and then also to show up with energy. This word provoke means to stir up. And I love that it says so much the more as we see the day approaching. Life is busy for everybody, right? But there's been just some back-to-back events. And you know how you start to feel like, oh, I'm not helping these people. I'm not facilitating what needs to happen in terms of ministry in the church. And maybe you're not feeling like you're accomplishing all that needs to happen. And there was a lady in our church who came up to me and she said, I know that you've been wanting to have some new Christians over to your house. And it's probably been hard for you to kind of get that coordinated. She said, if you'll have your house clean next Friday night, my husband and I will bring the food and we'll bring the refreshments and we'll show up and we'll help you host the new Christians who came to your house. And it worked. She did that. And I thought that actually probably would not have happened if she did not volunteer to show up with the food and with everything that was needed for that night. And I was thankful for someone in ministry who stirred me up, who didn't say, sorry, you're tired, let me know if you need anything, but said, hey, does September 16th work? I'll be there with the food. And it provoked me to love and to good works. And I want to be that for other people. So we should show up with energy. And maybe we can start with Amanda and work our way back this time. Just speak to anything on this topic. Maybe if there's something you want to share, but we can start with what role does godly community have in encouraging you in your call to ministry?
I think, you know, God made us to be relational beings. A lot of times we feel like, you know, we can do it by ourselves. I know sometimes my heart's not quite right when church is over and I want to go sit in my car while my husband finishes shaking hands with every single person in the church. You know, so it takes a few minutes for me to stop and kind of do a check on my own heart and think that, you know, I need to be there. I need to be with those people. Of course, sometimes the best way to get encouragement is to be an encouragement. And we all know that, you know, reaching out to somebody else that's struggling, even when you're going through something yourself, sometimes ends up being the biggest blessing. Another thing that I think is really important is to try to have a ministry friend that's maybe not part of your ministry. I have a sweet lady who, you know, when I'm really struggling with something, I can talk to them about it and they kind of talk me off the cliff and, you know, they don't have to know who I'm talking about, but they just encourage me. And, you know, maybe sometimes they're just going through the same thing and that encourages me. But surround yourself with the right kind of people, and then also just make sure that you're staying involved and that you're not withdrawing and letting the devil use that time of being alone to discourage you even more.
Well, maybe the answers to these questions are for you ladies that are here that are not the pastor's wife and you're not the teacher's wife, but you're a lady in the church, because we need you. We really do. The pastor's wife needs you. The teacher's wife needs you to kick in and help us with that. I know in our Bible class, we have several ladies who just love to do that. It's such a blessing to me. I know one lady right now, she's calling me and talking to me every Sunday. She's planning our big ladies' luncheon that we're going to have. But she's doing all the work. I'm now stepping up to help her because I don't want to be embarrassed that she's doing all the work. But it's such a blessing to me. So I feel like the Lord has laid it on our hearts to speak to you ladies who are in the church, who can be such a help with this community, to help those of us who are getting paid to do it, and we love to do it, but we need your help. So thank you so much for helping us with this community, and that's so important.
Well, I think both of what they said, I don't have to add to it, but two little things is, for me to be a blessing, I ask the Lord all the time, help me to focus, because I can get busy doing things and not realize the person next to me could use some encouragement. So asking the Lord to show me who I can encourage for today. And one of the best ways that you can be an encouragement to us is by being in your place. If we don't have to worry, oh, are they going to show up to the nursery, or are they going to teach their class, or are they going to be there Wednesday night? So that is, I think, a big encouragement to the pastor, to anybody that's in leadership at the church, is just to be in your place.
Awesome. Okay, so we have prayer, faithfulness, community, and number four, look ahead. We're now going to look ahead, and the confidence booster here is hope. It was touched on a little bit this morning, but we are fulfilling our calling in a hostile culture, right? And it could be easy to see the world's values and know how they are in complete contradiction to our purposes and our calling. And it could be easy to get discouraged and doubtful in that. And how do we approach this? Is my schedule right? Are my strategies right? But when we look to these verses in Hebrews, we really do get the encouragement to look ahead, to place more confidence in our faith than we do in our doubt. And this is actually my favorite part of this passage. And I'm super excited just how the Lord spoke to me in these verses. So in verse 34 and 35, the author is saying that the Hebrew Christians had compassion on him and his bonds. But then he says, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and more an enduring substance. I love this. Okay. So letter A is look ahead with joy. He said that they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, knowing in themselves that they had a better reward. And what he's referring to here is that Rome would persecute these Christians, and they would come in and they would evict them from their homes. They would rob them. This is what the spoiling of the goods is referring to. And the author's saying that they took that how? Joyfully. And when you study it out, some say that this is like a word that's saying they accepted it almost to the degree that they welcomed it. You could almost get the mental picture that they put a welcome mat out for their persecutors because they had such confidence. They knew in themselves that in heaven they had a better and a more enduring substance. And this is how they were able to face the culture that they lived in with joy, because they were looking ahead. Their eyes were to heaven. We can also look ahead with confidence, that knowing in ourselves that heaven is coming. This verse says, cast not away therefore your confidence. So this is the call to be intentional with it, which hath great recompense of reward. This means a great payment of wages. Your reward is coming. As you are faithful and confident in your call, God will honor you, he will bless you, and he will reward you. And then he encourages us to look ahead with patience. This is the third bullet point there. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. And as we conclude here this morning, if each of you ladies can maybe just share one aspect of looking ahead, looking ahead with joy, looking ahead with patience, and just confidently grabbing hold to those promises as you look toward heaven.
Okay. I think a really important thing is to remember, as you're looking ahead, why you're doing what you're doing. It's not just a job. For some of you, you're paid. Some of you, you aren't. It's not just a paycheck. It's not because you're bored and you don't have anything else to do. Serving the Lord with our lives is the greatest opportunity that anybody can have. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. And we should serve the Lord that same way, giving 100%. God is using each and every lady in this room to make a difference in eternity. And that includes the nursery. That includes janitorial. It doesn't matter what it is, if you're doing it as unto the Lord, God is using that. And while some days and some seasons are hard, we have such an amazing opportunity. And just personally, I want to not waste it. I want my life to make a difference. I want to not worry or fret or complain or belittle God's work because I had to work in the nursery again or anything like that. I want to take each day and joyfully serve God because I feel like it's the greatest calling that God could give anybody.
Well, I like this point, and I love that she said serve with joy, serve with joy, and I think that's so important. My husband and I work with the college students here, and, you know, we go to chapel every day, and those of us who are in this generation, we remember, in my generation, we remember when things were better. And things, you know, our country was better, things were more free, you know, I mean, it was great. But now things are dark and things are, it's a hard time. And I think our young people are hearing that so much. You know, we need you young people, because these days are just so terrible and, you know, it's just awful. And God just really kind of convicted me of that lately, that we need to be more joyful. I mean, there are so many wonderful opportunities. Brother Gillett preached at our church Sunday morning about all the open doors that we have. And so instead of us, the generation of me, those that I see one or two of you out there, instead of us being so negative about it and being down about it, let's have that hope. We do have hope. And no matter how hard things are, so that these young people will want to go through those open doors that are still there and just maybe change our spin a little bit. They're hearing it on the news. If they're watching the news, it's so depressing to watch the news. But we have something that the world doesn't have, and we have God. So let's make sure we're emphasizing that and to give them the hope and the joy. And it is wonderful to serve the Lord. And also to realize that God has not called every person to be in full-time Christian ministry, but he has called a lot of people, he's called everyone to be a full-time Christian. So let's encourage our young people in that way as well, that everyone is to be a full-time Christian. Now, some God will call to be in full-time ministry where they're getting paid to do it and that kind of thing. But also, let's build up the ones who are going to be the full-time Christians in our church and give them hope and joy in these wonderful days that we have.
That's great. I totally was going on the line of what Amanda did. You stay looking to the Lord, but stay focused on what you should be doing while we're still on earth. And that's where the patience comes in, because sometimes we can get focused on heaven. I just want to go, you know. And so we can have joy by making sure we're still serving. We have joy, the Bible says, in our giving, in our singing. And so those are some of the things we can do while we're waiting for the Lord's return and maintaining a joyful spirit.
That's so good. So encouraging. I'll tell you this really fast. Several months ago now, I was telling this to the ladies, the LBC staff wives earlier this summer, but a couple months ago, our son Chandler had a referral to go to the orthodontist. And we went, and he needed some pretty serious work. It wasn't just cosmetic. It was like, you know, some serious work on his teeth, but we didn't know to the extent. And we took him into the orthodontist, and the doctor, the orthodontist put his x-rays up on the screen, and it was like a mouth from a horror movie. It was pretty crazy. And even the orthodontist was like, Chandler, you have some pretty gnarly teeth going on in here, you know, trying to be nice, but let us know. Yeah, this is pretty bad. And so he said he definitely is going to need braces and, you know, a lot of work done. And so we said, okay. And then, you know, you kind of, as a mom, start going through like, okay, like you're going to get braces, and I'm trying to prep him, you know, it might hurt a little bit. And I don't know, cause I haven't had braces, but you know, your dad did, and he'll tell you, you might need to put wax in your mouth. And my sister was trying to help me. She told him, Chandler, if someone calls you brace face, that's okay. You just don't listen to them. It's all right. You know, just, it's going to be okay. And so we were pumping him up for 3 days until his appointment finally came to put his braces on. And when the day finally came, he got his braces on. And I don't know if you've ever seen Finding Nemo and that little girl who had braces on at the end of that movie. So I'm not saying Chandler looked like that, but that's what I thought of when he came out. He's smiling so big. And I was like, Chan. And I couldn't tell him, you look good, really, because, you know, I was thinking of that Finding Nemo girl. So I said, Chan, man, how do you feel? How's it going? And he said, I feel so confident. And I thought to myself, because of all that encouragement, you know, we were pumping him up, that when he finally got those braces on, he felt so confident. And it's our prayer that you will leave today with these spiritual reminders that we can be confident in our calling. The path may not be straight. It might be uncomfortable. You might have a little embarrassment here and there, but we can be confident in the work that God is doing in our lives. And I just pray that you'll leave with that truth today. And we're going to pray and then be dismissed. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity that we've had to gather together as women this morning and just spend a few minutes focusing on the blessing and privilege it is to serve you. And we thank you for the call that we have on our lives to follow you and to fellowship with you. And I ask that you will help us to leave here more encouraged to lean in prayer, to be faithful to our calling and to trust you. Lord, help us to not only be faithful, but to encourage others around us and then to look ahead to the promise and the reward that we know that you will give to us in heaven. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.